What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, one-third of American children are growing up without their biological fathers. The impact on the children varies from severe emotional upheaval to extreme withdrawal and lethargy. The majority of research indicates a negative social, emotional, physical impact on the children growing up without the biological father in the home. This hour, Savannah Burris will share her experiences. Savannah is a student at Sale. She's one of our regulars, and we always enjoy having her. She is a junior. Savannah, welcome to 411 Teen again.
Thank you for having me again.
I'm always glad to have you. Would you share your particular situation? What's happening with you as far as in your household?
So my father has been in jail for the majority of my life. My first memories of him are in jail. You know, going to visit him, mm-hmm. you know, him counting out money for vending machine snacks and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. so I've never really had that close of a relationship with him. I've obviously haven't gotten to spend much time with him because he's been in jail most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that, like, his side of the family very well. I lived near them till I was about five, so I know them very well. That's, you know, they're my family still.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's not like I just don't know who my father is. It's not like I have had absolutely no contact with them. You know, he's...
How old, you were saying your first memories were when you went to visit him. How old were you then?
I honestly couldn't tell you. Like, they were some of my... I was very little, like toddler
okay.
age. He went,
oh, okay.
I think when he went to jail... I was maybe about a year and a half, 2 years old, I think. That's mm-hmm. what my mom tells me. It wasn't long after my third brother was born with from my stepmom, ex-stepmom. I'm not very sure of that situation. He's 18 months younger than me, and I think a few months after he was born is when my dad went to jail for.
What did he go to jail for?
Kidnapping across state lines, for one. I think he had a couple warrants out for other things, but altogether I'm not too sure.
So he's been in jail all your life for that?
He's out now. He is out of jail now. He has been for the past couple of years, but I still, because of where he lives up in Virginia.
Okay.
I have really no way to contact him. Well, I have a way to contact him. I don't get to see him much. I don't get to talk to him. It's kind of a not complicated. It's a situation. That's the best way to put it.
Up to this point, who has composed your family? Your nuclear family. Basically, who did you grow up with?
So, like I said, when I was little, I lived up near my father's family with my mom and my brother Keith.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, excuse me, is your brother full biological
yes.
brother?
Yes, okay. Keith is my full, I have two half-brothers.
Okay.
Damon and Reese. Okay. Reese is the one 18 months younger than me, and Damon is 11 years older than me.
Okay, all right.
Keith is my only full biological brother.
Okay.
So we lived up in Virginia near my family in Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Okay.
And till I was four... Maybe I had just turned five. We lived there, and then we moved down to Florida. And from then on, I lived with my brother Keith, my mom's mother, her stepfather, and for a while, my mom was in. She lived in Fort Walton Beach, before she joined us living at my grandparents' house.
Oh, okay. So you were with your grandparents and she was there. Okay.
Yeah, but that was only for a year and a half, 2 years maybe. Mm-hmm. And that was because she was working there.
And now who composes your family?
Now I live with my mother.
Okay.
That's basically all I live with. My mom has a boyfriend who works up in Norfolk, Virginia. Is that how you say Norfolk?
Norfolk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Norfolk, Virginia. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Norfolk, Virginia. He's a welder. My mom's currently visiting him right now. My brother, because my mom's not there, is staying with us for the couple of days that she's not here so that I have transportation and I'm not left alone.
Your brother Keith?
Yes, my brother Keith.
Now, he's older, younger?
He is older than me. He is 19 years old.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
My brother Damon lives just around the corner from us.
The half-brother?
Yeah. Yes, okay. My oldest brother.
Okay.
It's hard to keep it straight because on one parent, I'm the youngest child, and the other, I'm the middle child.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now, what other adults did you interact with on a regular basis in growing up? I mean, I guess it was your maternal grandmother,
mm-hmm,
and grandfather.
Yes.
Okay. And that's it?
Other than teachers, yes.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Teachers.
Teachers and, well, my mother when she moved back in. Because, like I said, she was only away for a year or two. And mm-hmm, I was 5 and 6 when she was away. So, I kind of don't remember much of those years. Because even though my memory had fully formed by then, I still don't have much, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were saying your father has been out of jail for the last couple of years?
Let's see. I think it was the summer of sixth grade that when I went up to visit his side of the family, that I actually got to see him and spend time with him out of jail. Now, let's see. I'm a junior now.
That's 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is your relationship with him now because he's out of jail?
I have a small relationship. You know, he'll call every now and then, or if my mom's on the phone, he might ask to talk to me sometimes, or he might not, but it's still not much contact with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I had more contact with him while he was in prison than while he was out of prison.
Really?
And there, you know, what else is he going to think about? When he's out, he's got to think about work. How's he going to live? You know, because he is, I think he is, he's a felon. He's a convicted felon.
Oh, right, so
I'm pretty sure. I mean, kidnapping across state lines is a felony.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Forget about that.
Yeah.
You know?
So
he's really restricted in what he can do.
Yeah. So he's exactly that, very restricted. So he has to work very hard. He's busy. And I understand.
But he does have a job.
He has, since the 90s, has had a business called Precise Line Striping. He's a striper. He's trademarked that name in Virginia or Maryland, I think. So he does have a job. He works for himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he's able to have a job, because he works for himself. He's very street smart. He can get out of jail and then have his whole life set back up in 3 months.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you ever initiate any interaction with him? I mean, I know your interaction is minimal. I'm just trying to see, you know, where it comes from. Does he initiate the contact? Do you initiate the contact? And I know you said sometimes if he's talking to your mom.
Yeah. Most of the time he initiates contact. He'll call me or call my mom and ask to talk to me. Or when he's in jail, he'll send a letter to me. But I think I've called him once or twice, but it's hard because his number changes a lot because, you know, because he gets, like, prepaid phones and stuff like that because that's all he can afford. He can't afford to have, you know, like a Verizon plan or anything like that.
Right.
So, like I said, his number changes a lot. And he also – he's asleep a lot of times during the day because most of his work is done at night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. What impact would you say his absence has had on you?
I honestly – don't know because I don't know what it was – what it would have been like to have him around. So I can't tell you what the impact has been. I know that I'm always asked, you know, about my parents and all, you know. It's like, oh, is your dad in the picture? Or it was like, when's your dad going to be home? Or even today when I was at the orthodontist, when I said that my mom was out of town, the – I don't know what they're called. I'm just going to call her the nurse, ask, okay, well, can I speak to your dad then? And I had to explain to her, no, he's not really in the picture. And, you know, I'll have friends over and they'll be like, oh, what does your dad do? What time's your dad going to be home? Or, you know,
How do you feel about that kind of thing?
It's kind of awkward having to – like most of my friends know that, hey, yeah, dad's not in the picture. But if I'm having somebody new over – it can get kind of awkward, you know, having to explain, yeah, they're not in the picture, they're not around, you know, I don't know them that well. It can get awkward.
How does that make you feel? How do you feel in response to that?
I kind of wish people wouldn't automatically assume that everybody has both of their parents.
Well, it's kind of odd that they do take that position because what my interaction that I've had with folks seems like they often assume that he's not in the picture or, you know, they often assume that once parents have been divorced or separated and they'll ask, well, is that your dad? Is that your real dad? So, you know, you have the opposite experience.
Yeah.
I know you were saying, because usually you're here with the sale group and you were saying one of the reasons that you thought everybody that comes in your group is not here is simply because they all have interaction with their fathers, even if they are divorced or, you know, the mother's divorced, that there's still that contact. And so they felt like, wow, I've always had.
Yeah, like they grew up with them. Like their fathers weren't really absent. They knew them.
You tuned in to 411 Teen, and this hour I am talking with Savannah Burris. We're going to take a break. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and this hour we are talking with Savannah Burris. She is a student at Sale, and we're just talking about the experience of not having your biological father in your life. And Savannah, before we went on break, you were saying that, you know, your friends sometimes it's awkward, it's difficult to explain. Does that make you feel at all uncomfortable?
It does make me feel uncomfortable because I'm having to explain this kind of personal situation to, you know, maybe somebody that I might not want them to know all that much about me. You know, like if I'm explaining to my teacher about why they can't call my father to tattle on me for something that I've done at school – you know, I have to explain, yeah, they're kind of not in the picture.
I think what I was saying is that that's very much the norm, it seems like.
I think for, like you said, it was a third of, so a third of people don't know or have absentee fathers. It is becoming more of a norm to do that, you know, to have to explain, they're not really around.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, you can just say, well, you know, he's not in the picture. And yeah. not even explain you, is that...
Well, that's what I do a lot of times is just they're not in the picture. But then some people will be like, oh, why is that? Did your parents get divorced? You know, some people
really?
Can get nosy. And that kind of makes me mad because I'm like, it's none of your business. Here you are, a kind of complete stranger
mm-hmm.
asking me these very personal questions.
I'm surprised that you get that. I mean, it just seems like it's so much the norm today that it's
yeah.
not that big a deal.
Exactly. It's not that big of a deal. You know, it's not like I grew up completely abandoned or had like no male figures in my life or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I had my grandpa. My grandpa was great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really explain it. It's just my grandpa has, I think, always been more of a dad to me than my dad ever was.
Right.
You know.
Okay. When you think about growing up with an absent father, were there, outside of having to explain, what was the other, if you had any other difficult areas or difficult components to growing up with your father not there?
Going to things like father-daughter dances,
okay.
you know, little girls go to those, me
mm-hmm.
being in Girl Scouts for a while,
mm-hmm.
I went to those, and I'd always have to explain, yeah, this is my grandpa, not my dad, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'd have to go on like that, and I love my grandpa. We still go to father-daughter things.
Uh-huh.
And because, like I said, my grandpa's been more of a dad to me
exactly.
than my dad ever was.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets complicated.
In
you know,
what way?
Teachers automatically, I think, assume that kids are with their parents. You know,
mm-hmm.
they automatically assume
mm-hmm.
that you have your mother and your father until explicitly told otherwise. And even then, you know, when I say, yeah, this is my grandpa, they'll be, well, where's your dad? You know, can I talk to your dad? And I'll have to explain that, no, this is my grandpa, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, take your daughter to work day. Teachers are like, oh, are you going into work with your dad?
Oh,
you know, it's
okay.
still, it seems teachers are kind of, like, not so much in high school,
because
middle school and elementary school, it was always the teachers, well, what's your father's number? I need to call him and report you for this, this, and that, and the other.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's stuff like that. Even though, you know, the teachers have contacts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have the student contact information, yet they still automatically ask for the father.
Hmm. Now, were your parents divorced? What was their
relationship?
They
were never married.
Okay.
They were – they dated – I think for about 5 years they were together.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was obviously born first. He's 19.
Okay.
I'm 17. So,
okay.
I mean.
Now, does he have a relationship with his father at all? Or is his about mirror yours?
No. My grandpa, Eddie. That's him, is still with my grandma Dottie,
mm-hmm.
always has been for how, oof. Since my grandma was 16 when she got married, I don't know when she had my dad. My dad was the firstborn of that family. I know a lot about my family because that's most of who I knew when I was really growing up, you
mm-hmm.
know. I went and visit them every summer and every other winter, so I do know
so
them.
Okay, so you do know your paternal
yes.
family.
Yeah,
it's just
I do
your
know
dad.
My paternal family. It's just my dad that's
that
absent.
You don't know. Okay. Now, your brother, he...
My brother has a better relationship with my dad than I do.
Okay, better
my brother,
in what way?
My brother has memories of him when he was younger outside of the jail. He has...
Oh, really?
Memory, because my brother was... I think about 4-ish, maybe 5,
mm-hmm.
when my dad went to jail for the – well, I don't think that was the first time, but went to jail for the majority of my life.
Mm-hmm.
now that my dad's been out, my brother's gone up to Virginia over the summers, and he's, like, stayed with him for months, you know, while my dad, like, helping my dad out at work and, you know, spending more time with him. My brother is back in town from being with my dad for about 6 months. And before that, you know, he spent a couple months here, and before he went back to up with my dad, he'd only been here a couple months because he was, once again, with my dad. He helps him work, and he has a much better relationship with my dad.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Would you like to have that kind of relationship? How do you feel about that?
Honestly, I don't think that I would want that type of relationship with him because of the things my mother has told me about what type of person he is. According to her, she has had very bad experiences with him. He's a very abusive person. So, and he's can be a very mean person. He doesn't really know how to treat people. But I think what that comes from is he's been in jail for so long. And a lot of my family on my dad's side has bipolar disorder.
Okay.
So I think that if instead of going to jail, if he had gone to a mental institution to get help, he would be much better of a person than he is now because he kind of has no control. His mental state is kind of just deteriorated.
Mm-hmm. But he is able to function and
maintain his independence, but he can't be nice to people. That's the thing. The nicest he can be is basically not yelling at you and not, like, outright being a nasty, awful person, you know, just kind of passive-aggressively being mean and blowing up at you over, like, the littlest thing.
Okay. If you could change one thing about growing up to this point, what would it be? And why?
I honestly don't know, because growing up as I did made me the person that I am. Mm-hmm. If I changed that, that would be changing myself and who I am. So, and I like myself.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can be mean sometimes.
Well, not even about, doesn't mean, I don't mean even about you, but just change anything within.
But I understand that, but I think changing any factor would have made me a different person. Because I believe people, everything that happens to you in your life some way shapes you as the person that you are.
Yeah.
So changing, I think, even the smallest thing, like my favorite color or, you know, what time I got up for school in the morning, I think that could change me. So I just don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Most of the research examining father absence says that, for example, girls are affected differently than boys are, and that girls may indeed be vulnerable. They may be sexually promiscuous. They may be vulnerable to predators because, you know, they're looking for that whole father image.
I was wondering if that topic was going to be brought up.
Of course, of course.
That is something that I have heard a lot of. Mm-hmm. I think people assume that a girl that grows up without her father is going to spend the rest of her life looking for a father and any man that she has a relationship with. And personally, I don't think that's true. I mean, maybe for some people it is, you know. Mm-hmm. There's things like that are around for a reason. I can't think of the word. Stigma. Like that whole stigma of a girl growing up without her father is always going to be looking for a daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure like that came from somewhere.
Right.
But for me, I don't think that's true. If I'm going to have a relationship with somebody, I'm not going to be looking for a relationship with my father, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you don't buy into that.
I don't buy into it. I mean, I'm sure it's true in some cases,
yeah.
But I don't think that that's the most likely thing to happen. I think people just automatically assume that that's
mm-hmm.
what happens.
Mm-hmm. Another fact that has been researched back and forward is that usually the child who is with a non-resident father or father's not around, 54%, they're more likely to be economically challenged, economically disadvantaged, because often when you have a two-parent home, and again, you assume that the father is the main breadwinner. And so did you find that that has influenced, because your father wasn't in a home, that it influenced your life, the money, the economics?
Yes.
Okay,
because,
so you do think so.
Two incomes is going to mm-hmm. obviously have more than, you're going to be able to do more with two incomes than one. That's why mm-hmm. we lived with my grandparents, is because my mom couldn't afford for us to live on our own with her, That's why we were there. My dad, with the work that he does, he makes a lot of money.
Oh, okay.
Even if he was in the picture, though, and making money and combining the incomes, I still feel, though, that it wouldn't have had as much of an effect as people think that it could have, mostly because my dad is... He gives money, but he counts the money that he gives to you as his money. And if you don't spend it right away, he takes it back and uses it for himself. Yeah.
So
he counts the money that he gives you as his own money. If you don't immediately spend it,
mm-hmm.
he takes it back.
Okay. So he does contribute financially to?
Not us currently, but when my mom was with him, that's what he did. When my brother was spending time with him and, uh-huh. working with him, that's what he would do. He would, any income made, if it was whatever was supposed to be paid to him, my brother, he would give it to my brother. But if it wasn't spent within a couple of days or put into the bank, he would take it back, because in his mind, that's his own income. That's his own money.
Oh, okay. All right. Often it's said, and you hear this so much, and I would like to have you respond to it, teens in a single mother household are 30% more likely to engage in risky behavior. This is what the research has found out. When that father is not in the home, and when I say risky behavior, it seems like everything, from drinking and drugs to delinquency to behavioral problems to emotional problems, psychological problems, depressed, that you find that those kids who came from a father absent home were at risk, high risk individuals. Can you see this? And I'd just like to have you comment on it for someone who has been in that situation.
I can understand that.
Okay.
But I think it's more to the fact that you have one parent that's probably working extremely hard to, live, just to be mm-hmm. able to live. They're not going to be able to keep as much of an eye on their kids as they would if there was two parents both keeping their eyes out,
mm-hmm.
watching their kids, being able to help them and listen to them. I think that most single mothers just don't have the time to be able to properly interact with their kids. And I think that's where a lot of the risky behavior comes from. It's more acting out
mm-hmm.
over not having the help, the support that they need.
Okay. All right. So that's how you would explain that it happens, and it makes a lot of sense, that they don't have that other parent to bounce ideas and things off of, and the parent, is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense. And another fact that they have found is that kids of father absent home are twice as likely to drop out of school. Now, would you say that that's the same kind of thing, or what is?
Could be the same type of thing. You know, you drop out because either you're failing because you don't have, you know, emotional support, or, you know, you're failing because you can't focus because you're too hungry, mm-hmm. or you drop out to get a job to help support the family. And mm-hmm. I think that's a big thing, is when you don't have that second parent there, that second income, it puts a lot of strain economically on a family, because then the other parent has to make up for that somehow. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's by picking up another job, another two jobs, to try and make up for that. And a lot of times the kids will see how much their parents are, or their parent is working, and try and help out with that. And I guess that ends up with them dropping out so that they can pick up a job.
Mm-hmm. Or feel guilty. I know they talk about kids often feel guilty because the parent is working so hard, mm-hmm. and feel like they need to help them. Did you experience anything like that, or your brother?
My mom used to work at Walmart. She no longer does, but she worked at Walmart for almost 10 years. Mm. She'd come home exhausted. She broke her back working there. Like, she started working there with a slight herniated disc, but working there as a zone manager, mm-hmm. and having to throw freight and being a department manager, and she was the department manager of the pets and chemicals section for a long time, and having to throw freight and like pallets of dog food and bleach, it literally broke her back.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable is a regular panelist. I'm always glad to have her, Savannah Burris. Savannah attends Sale High School, and she is a junior there. Today's topic is growing up with a father absent. And Savannah has experienced that, and she's sharing her experiences with us. I had to interrupt you because you were talking about your mom and working. So you want to continue? I know you said she was working at Walmart. Yeah.
Yeah, she was working at Walmart. We were able to move out of my grandparents' house when I was in sixth grade. We were able to move out of there because she, her boyfriend agreed to help her pay, you know, move into a townhouse in Tallahassee, mm-hmm. and help pay the bills. But townhouses in Tallahassee, they're all in the good ones are in college neighborhoods, mm-hmm. meaning they're very expensive. And even with two people bringing in money, it still was very, very hard to make ends meet. So my mom worked herself half to death. She had to have back surgery a couple years ago now. She's still not fully recovered from that, but she's as recovered as she will ever be from that. You know, her doing that.
How'd that make you feel?
It was very hard because for 3 months, my mom was out of work. You know, she was lying on a mattress on the floor. You know, it was luckily during summer, so my brother and I could take care of her. But it was very hard seeing her like that. When she came up out of anesthesia for that, it was funny because, mm-hmm. you know, you're all loopy from the anesthesia and all. Mm-hmm. So that was, but after that, you know, she couldn't go back to the same job anymore at Walmart. So that means a pay cut. which was very hard. So, I mean, having to have her do that because she was losing the mobility of her leg. You know, she had a pinched nerve because of her herniated disc, and she was literally having to use her core muscles to drag her leg forward because she couldn't move it on its own without using those muscles. She had to have that surgery or she would have ended up paralyzed.
Oh, wow. Given your experiences, do you think having a father is important?
I don't think
having... In the home, I guess.
I don't think having a father is important as so much as having male and male role models is important.
Okay.
I think a kid doesn't have to have, you know, both their parents as long as they have those role models. 'Cause not every person is meant to be a parent.
Right.
You know,
and
some people are abusive or, you know, they physically or mentally incapable of having a child and dealing with a child.
Good point. Very good point.
Yeah.
What would you say to your father if you could? I mean, you just had a kind of open conversation. What kinds of things would you express to him?
I honestly don't know because I'm honestly kind of afraid to speak openly to him because of the stories that my mom's told me of the few when I have been around him, how easily he goes off on people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd honestly,
well,
I think if I could.
Is that still happening though? Because your brother seems to have a relationship. Do
my brother has
a
relationship with him, but it's not an easy one. You know, my father's, his mental capacities have been withered down over the years by jail, by just life itself. And I think if I could say anything to him, I would maybe ask him to go and get help for himself mentally. Like, I think that he needs to get that help so that he can maybe get some, you know, some stability mentally because that's his main problem with dealing with people is he doesn't have that mental stability.
Does he recognize that, though?
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time he came down to Florida to visit us.
Oh, really?
For Christmas.
Okay.
He has visited us sometimes here, but it's still spending all
the
time. It's very strained because I feel like we're forced to put on this happy family act when I honestly would rather be anywhere else for when he's there. When he
Why?
Because it's, like I said, it's very strained being around
him. In what way is it strained?
Because I have to act like I'm this happy daughter that doesn't want anything else than to be with my father and spend time with him. When if I could choose, I wouldn't see him for more than a couple hours a day, if that. So, it can be very strained, but when he did come down to visit, it was a little bit easier for me because he didn't really want to spend time with me. It was my brother that he wanted to spend time with, which I've accepted that he's – my brother is the only child he ever wanted. He only ever wanted the one child.
Okay.
So I've accepted that. He never wanted a daughter.
How did you get to that point? How did you get to that point? You say you've accepted it.
Because that's just how it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can see the blatant favoritism, you know.
Mm,
when he came down that Christmas, he brought my brother. He rented a U-Haul trailer, like the ones that you attach to the back of your truck that are open on top.
Mm-hmm.
He put a geo tracker on the back of that, drove down from Maryland to Florida to give my brother a car, went to the store, brought my brother a bunch of gifts, you know, expensive ones too, and then didn't even get me a Christmas card.
What? Savannah, yeah. You've got to have some feelings about that.
I felt very, like, kind of shocked and a little, you know, I wasn't disappointed because I wasn't surprised, but it definitely hurt, you know, because it's like, you are like my father.
It was like you didn't exist.
Yeah, it was like I didn't exist. I know my brother Reese, he got anything that he wanted. I know that for sure because I heard him bragging on – or I heard him talking to at the time my stepmother on the phone about all the things that he had gotten him, and then not even a card for Savannah.
Wow.
He's sometimes on my birthday – he won't, like, I'll go, like, months by without even, like, having a call for him. Mm-hmm. And then a couple months after my birthday, he'll call and be like, yeah, sorry I didn't call you on your birthday, but I'm calling now. And if you want anything, let me know. He's called before the day after my birthday to ask my mom to borrow money and then didn't even say happy or tell her to say happy birthday to me.
You must feel some anger. That's just total dis, as you say. You know?
Yeah,
it's total. I mean,
yeah.
To the utmost.
Yeah, I mean, there is some anger there for, it's like, you know, I don't care if, you know, you don't even really like me, you know, because I know, like I said, the only kid he ever wanted was my brother.
Okay.
Well, my brother, Males. Keith.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Your brother,
my full biological brother, Keith.
Okay.
You know, I just wish he wouldn't show, I don't care about it with me, but when it comes to my brother, Reese, I wish he, because he's still, even when it's Reese and Keith together, Keith is still the favorite. You know, you look at Keith, Reese may get more gifts, but they're, you know, the small, you know, it's Keith's the favorite. That's how it will always be.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish he didn't show that so blatantly in front of Reese. But honestly, I can't say I really don't expect it because that's how that whole side of the family is they show blatant favoritism. My grandparents, my grandmother has 9 grandchildren, I think, maybe 10 now. I can't really remember. But she has 9 or 10 grandchildren, the first great-grandchild on the way, and both of the grandparents have their favorites, and it's blatant about it.
Now, do you interact with any of your other cousins, I guess, or whatever.
Not so much as
paternal side.
Yeah, not so much as when I was little.
Okay.
When I was little, you know, I was going up there every summer, every other winter. In November, my mom and I made a trip up to Virginia to see that side of my family. That was the first time I'd seen them in 5 years. So I've any relationships that I really had with them grew apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really know them anymore. They're kind of strangers. They don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't seen me in 5 years. I talked to my grandma every now and then on the phone, but that's it.
That's
you
it.
Know, other than Christmas, you know, sending Christmas presents back and forth.
Oh, so you do send Christmas
presents. Oh, yeah. My grandma sends us Christmas presents, mm-hmm. and I send her at least a card, if not more, you know. I make hats now with looms.
Yes,
I'll make
right.
hats and I'll send those. And so I'll do stuff like that. And I always try to send something, even if I don't manage that every year. It's at least a card.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I call on Christmas and stuff. And I say, Merry Christmas. How are you? You know.
Mm-hmm. So you do maintain some contact.
Yes.
Obviously. Besides your grandfather, were there other surrogate males in your family that you are in your environment, maybe not in your family, in your environment that you interacted with?
a lot of kids would find teachers, you know, that they could. Most of my teachers were females, so.
Yeah.
There's that. The one teacher that ever came anywhere close to that, I've lost contact with. It was when I went to Stars Middle School. His name was Thomas Cleversey. He was just a really cool teacher. He was my favorite. I'm pretty sure I was one of his favorites. He was an English teacher and my writing teacher. And I still have my journal. We had to do class journals. And I still have my journal from him where he had written on one of the pages, you know, don't stop writing, keep writing, keep, you know, encouragement like that. He, out of all the people that I've lost contact with, you know, middle school friends, elementary school friends, family, he's the one person I do wish I could still be in contact with.
Have you ever tried to?
I've tried. We were Facebook friends for a while, but last I heard, his wife, who he worked with, they got a divorce and he moved away and became principal at another school. And he just completely deleted his Facebook account.
Because
like
see,
I said, after I stopped going to Stars, you know, I graduated or I graduated there. You know, you can then, after you are no longer at that school, you can become Facebook friends with teachers. I think, like, that's the policy. Anyway, so I became Facebook friends with him and, you know, we'd comment on each other's posts and stuff like that. And I'm still friends with some of the teachers from that school on Facebook, even though I'm never on Facebook anymore. But, yeah.
Okay. You know, given what you've been through in these last few minutes and the way that your father has treated you, do you feel cheated at all?
Maybe a little. You know, I think everybody deserves to at least have some sort of relationship with both their parents. You know, some sort of good relationship, even if it's just, you know, a couple happy memories of going somewhere or doing something. So I kind of do feel cheated about that because I feel like every memory I have of him is tainted, you know, by something. Right. Either by an argument that, you know, my mom and him had or him and my brother had or, you know.
So they're not pleasant, what I hear you
they're,
saying.
They're not.
Stressful.
Yeah, they're stressful, you know, having to keep up a facade of, you know, the happy daughter. So they're all tainted. So, yeah, I do feel cheated. I should have at least one or two happy memories.
And you don't have any of those. You appear to have adjusted and be a very together, because I know you pretty well. I'm well-adjusted, well-rounded individual, you know, regardless of what you've experienced. What advice would you offer to younger kids who are in similar situations? What kinds of things would you suggest they do in coping with that whole picture where the father is absent?
If they're not there, the chances of them being there and not having any feelings of resentment or anything like that are very slim. It's something that you do need to accept, you know, if your father left and you don't have contact with them, you're probably not going to have contact with them ever again. But blood isn't everything. The whole blood is thicker than water quote, that's actually half the quote. It's the blood of the convent is thicker than the water of the womb. That's that full quote. That means that those that you choose to be your family matter more than those that are blood. Fathers aren't everything. They not everyone needs a father. Everybody needs role models. And those, a lot of times, are more important than parents. Because kids don't want to grow up to be like their parents. They want to grow up to be like their role models.
Indeed. It's said that any man can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. I want to ask you to reflect on that. What does that mean to you?
It means to me that anyone, any man can go out and get somebody pregnant and be a biological father. Mm-hmm. But to be there for the kid, to raise the kid, to be part of their lives and, you know, have memories with them, mm-hmm. that's what it means to be a dad.
Well, Savannah, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you sharing your experiences. I'm sure some of them may have been a little difficult and painful, but I think they'd be very helpful for listening audience. So I appreciate you. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.